Hello there, and welcome to Woman of Grit, a podcast that holds space for women to have authentic conversations about our intersectional challenges and where we elevate women's voices, celebrate their strengths, and honor their resilience. I'm your host, Dr. Ann, the Gritpreneur and Woman of Grit. Come on in, we saved a seat at the table for you.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Woman of Grit. My guest today is Paula Conroy, a frequency coach and founder of The Frequency, a business that supports women through a necessary rite of passage into their full feminine maturity and potential. So welcome to Woman of Grit, Paula, all the way from the Southern Hemisphere in Australia. How are things in tomorrow?
Oh, well, thank you so much, Anne. It's wonderful to be here with you. And tomorrow's actually looking really good at this stage. It's a beautiful day here in Australia. We've got some sunshine, a bit of chill in the air when we're changing seasons, which is always, for me as a woman, such a beautiful time because us women are so cyclic in our nature. So this change of the cycles and the moving of the seasons is something that I really celebrate and observe because it's a real mirror for the experience of what it means for me and for many of the women that I know and the women that I work with. So things are really good down here. Thank you so much.
So even the weather is going through its own rite of passage. So in the spirit of full transparency, though, before I visited your website, thefrequency.com, to find out more about you and the work you do, I really had no idea what a frequency coach did. I was familiar with frequency as it's defined in physics and also with the vibration frequencies of our bodies. So please share with us, what does a frequency coach do?
Yeah, no, thank you so much. And it's so wonderful that you've got this expanded perspective on frequency because, you know, in my understanding and exploration of all these different things that contribute towards living a more aware and awakened life, is that the frequency of things have such a profound impact on us as human beings. To be able to bring forth a heightened frequency within ourselves and in turn be able to offer that back out into our environments, to our families, our colleagues, our workplaces, our communities. And so the frequency is very much about what is the frequency of consciousness and what is the frequency of love? You know, what are the values that surround these frequencies and what are the types of things that we need to do as women or as human beings to be able to tap into this very powerful asset of ours, this intuitive knowing of our frequency and the impact that has on everyone around us, to be able to harness more deeply into the frequency of love and consciousness in order to be able to be a good citizen in the world and offering our individual unique gifts and talents to the world in a way that is potent and filled with strength and power and gentleness and softness. And so in the frequency, we do a number of different things. You know, we coach and we do circles, and those are two very, very clear aspects of the frequency cycles.
Yeah, I loved intuitive knowing because that is so true. We know things. I think sometimes we are just resistant because we know, we absolutely know. You know, we're in a relationship, it's not the right relationship. We know. We sometimes just ignore all the red flags and keep just plodding forward when intuitively we know. In the introduction, I mentioned that you support women through a necessary rite of passage into their full feminine maturity and potential. How do you describe what are rites of passage?
Yeah, beautiful. You know, there are rites of passage that are occurring in all of our lives all the time. And how I define a rite of passage is that it's a transition from one stage of life to the next. Now, if we don't do this consciously, we will transition from one stage of life to the next, but we might not do it particularly well. So we will inevitably just grow older. Our organic bodies continue to grow older as we progress through our lives. And we meet these changes that happen in our lives, such as the transition from child into young adulthood, you know, adolescence, or the transition from school to university, or from university into the workplace, or into becoming a parent, or getting married, or losing a parent, or, you know, any of these life events that happen to us are actually calling for us to continue to recognize the transitionary states that we are moving through in our life all the time. But we're not necessarily doing transitionary passages particularly well. If you look at Indigenous cultures from around the world, they have been practicing, you know, structured rites of passage, especially for their youth moving into young adulthood, for many hundreds of years. And, you know, Indigenous cultures have recognized the value of creating a safe structure within which this adolescent or this young adolescent can become unsafe. So Indigenous cultures have created healthy rites of passage for their youth, as well as ceremonies and rituals that are all included in Indigenous cultures, but have largely been lost to the people in the West. Right. What we do in this modern era of looking to create healthy rites of passage is that we need to ensure that it's safe, number one, and that it's culturally appropriate, so that we're taking into account what's appropriate for a white child in Australia might not be the same as what's appropriate for a Indigenous child in the Amazon. Right. You know, two different cultures there. So there definitely has to be that cultural nuance and sensitivity and applicability to the culture that one is working in. And then there are these key steps, because a rite of passage for an individual is not just about the individual themselves. It's actually about the whole community.
Right.
Yeah. It has the real potential to uplift a whole community when one person within the whole of the community is going through a transition and that gets done well. The whole frequency of the community has the possibility of being uplifted and transitioned. And so the elders have their place within that community. The mother archetype, or those women and men who are in that sort of potent 35 to 50 year old age group, have their role and they transition in their stewardship of the rite of passage. The youth that get to see the boys or the girls that are going through just before or just after them get to witness the experience that the person's having. And in turn, we learn reflectively from one another in a healthy functioning community like that. Right. So the rite of passage has some key elements which, you know, involve sitting in circles and telling stories, where the youth get to listen to the elders tell their story of the same time they left school or went through adolescence or got married. You know, we don't get to have that opportunity of really consciously and intentionally listening to one another in the setting of an integral circle, where there is this opportunity for reflective learning from others, and also having the opportunity to speak clearly from our own personal experience that often we don't necessarily have the chance to do.
Can you please share with us some of your journey, how that process was for you?
Yeah, for sure. It has been a big transition. You know, for me, I spent nearly 15 years in corporate banking. The role I had for the 7 years before I left was as the country head of the client management division here in Australia for a global bank. So I had an extraordinary possibility there to learn a lot, which I did. But what I noticed that was happening for me was that there was this sense of agitation, and you touched on it earlier, was that, you know, that knowing that something needed to change. Often what we do in that sense of agitation, there's this like feeling or sense that something needs to change, is that we go about changing something on our external life. We go and find a new job, or we find a new partner, or we move house, or we do all of these things externally, but we don't necessarily attend to that voice inside of us, that intuitive voice, that sense of agitation. It's trying to communicate something with us, but we don't necessarily have the tools. We don't get taught this in school. We don't necessarily have the community structures and the culture within our communities to be able to really pause and slow everything down, to be able to create the type of space that's needed for us to digest and be with the internal sense of agitation. Because ultimately, we can all go and externally change all sorts of things in the hope that that's going to make us feel better. And so for me, there was this real transition moment where I recognized that that internal voice that was calling for me wasn't saying you need to go and move from this one job that you're highly skilled at to another bank where you will be highly skilled again. That's going to solve the problem. This internal voice was saying, nope, there's something completely different for you, and I don't know what it is. And I know that's incredibly scary. And I know that you're very wound up in your identity and in your skill set and in your ego and who you think you are around this role. And you've got a lot of support and you've got a wonderful career path ahead of you if you want to choose that. But what I'm calling from within, this sort of inner voice, this intuition was saying, there's something else out there for you. And you need to be able to drop into the discomfort of the not knowing and go through this internal exploration in order to be able to discover for yourself what is your true life's path. If we go back to our reference towards the seasons, you know, go from the autumn that was happening, you know, this part of my life was definitely an autumn and I was being called to a winter, really go into that darkness and that kind of destitute type stage of winter in the cycle to be able to emerge out as spring. If we tap into that very obvious mirror of nature, you know, it's around us all the time, even day into night. We can't always be in day. We can't always be in summer. There is a necessary process for organic life to be moving on earth that is mirrored to us through nature. And really, you know, if we become more aware of that, we increase our capacity to be able to be with our winter with more grace, more acceptance, and with more understanding that this is a necessary part of the transition into the next cycle of our lives.
So what do you mean by mature feminine? And how does a woman like me or woman listening know if they've successfully transitioned into their full feminine maturity? I'm just curious. I'm like, ooh, have I or haven't I?
The funny thing is that as long as I've been doing this work, when I look at what we'd call the immature maiden traits or potentially the wounded maiden traits. So I'm going to just introduce three archetypes of the feminine, you know, a standard within which we can apply a set of explanations or understandings around in order for people to be able to relate to and then have the possibility of recognizing those within their own lives. So in the cycle of a woman's life, we go through our young childhood, and then when we're transitioning into our young adulthood as an adolescent, we move into our maiden years, which are typically our springtime years. They're typically up and out, seeking up and out. It's like a bud growing. We are looking, trying on different hats, trying on different clothes, trying on different friendship groups, you know, really seeking, where do I fit? Where do I find myself? You know, so those maiden years carry on until we get to, you know, around about 28, or, you know, from there onwards, we have the transition into what should be the full mature feminine time of our lives, the sort of summertime of our lives. We've lived long enough. We've potentially had children. We've had a few jobs. We've got married or we've had a few relationships. We've gathered a lot of learning and a lot of assets in terms of our life experience.
Right.
And we move to this sort of mother archetype stage of our lives where we should technically be at full potency. But so many women I know, and potentially some of your listeners will resonate with this because I certainly found myself there, was that I was plagued with fear, uncertainty, and doubt, struggling with self-worth issues. And I'll just touch quickly on the third archetype, which is the crone, which is that sort of elder, feminine, wise woman who has lived her whole life and has so much wisdom to bestow. So we've got the maiden, the mother, and the crone. And all of these archetypes are living within us all the time. You know, sometimes, for example, you and I here in our mother years, we will have the wisdom of the crone speaking at our shoulder. You know, she's sort of in us, but she's not the pervading archetype within which we're living because we're not yet at that cycle of our lives. Likewise, as mothers, and I just want to be clear, by mother, I don't mean biological mother. You don't need to be. That's the mother frequency, the deep grounded rootedness of that present mother, Mother Earth, Mother Nature, you know, the deep strength of a mother that can hold a family together. It's the qualities of the archetype, not the need for biological motherhood. That.
Right.
So as mother, we've got the wisdom of the crone that can speak in our ear, and yet we've still got these wounded traits of our younger years showing up in fear, uncertainty, and doubt, self-worth issues, self-doubt issues, you know, needing to get 10 out of 10 on the job description in order to apply for the job. Whereas, you know, our male counts 4 out of 10 and I'm going to apply for that job, you know. So there's this real difference between us women and our confidence and our maturity and our knowingness of ourselves, of being rooted deeply in our truth. You know, and there's these specific traits that we present with as a wounded maiden, which need to come into wholeness in order for us to be able to be in the full summertime of a mature feminine. And so the wounded traits would typically look like impatience, irritability, self-doubt, you know, judgment, perfectionism, toxic perfectionism, you know, the need to control, all these sorts of qualities that come up that create what I'd say is a contraction in our experience. When we are in our full mature flow of our currency of our life, we are relaxed and at ease, our nervous systems are down, we are able to speak clearly from our hearts, we are not feeling an energetic contraction in any way, shape, or form. So a really great litmus test for women to check in with themselves is around checking in with the quality of the energy in their bodies in the moment. So when something's happening, if we are in big reaction to it, if the quality of our energy is strong and fierce and there's that fire energy inside of us, we can be rest assured that there is a wounded part of ourselves that has taken over in that moment that is trying to protect us. And that is holding us back from being in the moment in the full flow of our maturity. So the work that we do in the frequency circles is around becoming aware of what are these archetypes, what are these traits that are presenting in my life in a way that are holding me back from being in my full flow, from holding me back from being in the full expression of me as a woman in my womanhood years, in my mother years. And how is it that I can go into these different parts of the wounded parts of myself and find the original wound, its deep, beautiful inner child work that we call the maiden work, that I can now find a way to access this beautiful part of me that got hurt somewhere along the line. Something happened where she put herself out there and she got burnt. She got her heart broken. Something happened to this beautiful part of me back then that I didn't have the maturity or the toolkit to know how to digest fully to its completion in order for that part to be integrated into the wholeness of my experience in this moment now. And how is it that I can build the awareness and the self-sourced capability within myself in the presence of other women in the frequency circle to be able to connect to this part, ask it what it needs, if it needs to cry or feel or digest or experience, and then be able to say to this part, right, now come and sit here with me on mama's lap. Mama's got this. You don't need to be running the show anymore. I'm here, you know, and then a sense of integration that happens through that process.
You just literally answered what I was going to ask next about frequency circles and how the program helps self-worth, breaking free from patterns of self-doubt. So what are some of the practical tools and techniques that women can expect to learn in the Frequency Circles program?
Yeah, beautiful. So in the Frequency Circles program, you know, the main sort of core intention that I kind of feed in with my own energetic frequency is that us women are amazing, you know, and there is this real intention around the circles for women to remember this, to remember themselves. So, you know, we're at a stage in our evolution collectively in humanity that, you know, this capacity for us to remember ourselves as, you know, divine beings, as awakened women, it's not a matter of us putting somebody else up there on a pedestal or a throne or a guru or somebody outside of ourselves that is greater or better that's going to give us the answers. It's about bringing that whole dynamic of hierarchical structure, which is very much steeped in the old system and the patriarchal structure that we're living in, of this hierarchy of somebody at the top and everybody else below. You know, we bring into the circles this sense of equality and of inclusion, because in a circle, everybody is sitting in a circle. So there's nobody at the top or at the bottom. And so just built into the real structure of the circles, which actually all happens online, is that each person gets allocated the right, time to be able to go through the journey that I've curated, which is a rite of passage journey, bringing in all these different learning elements, which they do outside of the circle around wounded maiden traits, mature feminine traits. What is a rite of passage? What is the journey of feminine consciousness within leadership? What is the mythology around, you know, this beautiful Sumerian mythology around the journey of the feminine experience of going in and down to reclaim these forgotten and lost parts of herself back up into wholeness. So around the circle, there are these learning experiences that are happening by video. And when we come into circle, it's all about the reflective, active listening process that we go through to be able to hear ourselves speak, and then in turn to be able to proactively and reflectively listen to others, to be able to recognize the oneness between us, the sameness between us. Although my story might have a very different storyline to yours, we could share stories all day, and I will resonate with your stories and you will resonate with mine, even though our feeling experience within our stories is the same. Your joy is the same as my joy, although what brought you the joy might be different. Remembering ourselves in the sacredness of circle together, remembering ourselves as sisters, connecting to the learnings of feminine consciousness, to be able to integrate those into our lives so that we rise within ourselves in the presence of one another, as opposed to placing our power outside of ourselves, going like, I need you in order to make me feel better. It's like, in the presence of you, I feel uplifted. And yet I feel this capacity growing within me to remember myself in this way as a strong, rooted woman in this today.
Being African, of course, there are all these rites of passage, when there's a birth, when there's a death, when somebody gets married, when you go into puberty. And then I'm straddling the African culture and now the Western world. And I think more and more in recent years, I have been going more towards my roots. You talked about the three archetypes, and those are pretty universal. What indigenous populations know and have been doing for eons is what you're so eloquently introducing the West to some of these practices. Because I remember as a young girl, would sit around, one of the things we do is we groom each other. You know, somebody's in your hair, they may be oiling your scalp, they may be braiding your hair, and we're just talking, we're exchanging stories, and we're just laughing. And literally, when I celebrated my 50th birthday, I went to Mexico, and I was intentional about having just women. Because our behaviors as women tend to change when there are men around us. We go into that role of wanting to make sure that the man in our life is taken care of. But I just wanted these women to relax, just have time to themselves. So it was all feminine energy. So I totally get it. I just absolutely love the company of women. When we just push each other, you know, we learn from each other. There isn't that hyper competitive trying to outdo the other person. So I totally, totally understand this concept of a circle. And I think it's incredible that the internet has made it possible that you could have a virtual circle. I think that's incredible. So self-acceptance and self-love are obviously very important in the transformational process. I just did a post about self-forgiveness, and definitely self-acceptance and self-love were important parts of being able to forgive yourself for the mistakes you've made. How important are they in the transformational process that the women go through in the frequency circles?
Oh, I can't express how important that beautiful facet of love called forgiveness, self-forgiveness, you know. And for us women, there's a journey we have to go through when we're waking up to these challenges that we might be riddled with in this sort of midtime of our lives, that when we start waking up to it, there's quite a lot of anger that might come up as we wake up to the reality of the way in which we've been raised, the societies which in which we've been raised. And, you know, I'm a white woman. So, you know, for me, it's one facet. I can only but imagine, having not lived in the, you know, in the skin or the bodies of people who are even more marginalized than women, to imagine what level of frustration and anger they must feel as they as people become aware of the ways in which society has marginalized, you know, minority groups and women. So it's a journey to kind of, we have to move through stages of the process, you know, to get to that stage of self-forgiveness. We first need to really become aware of what were we responsible, how much responsibility can I really take for the fact that we were taught as little girls to be pretty pleasing and polite and to show up and be a good girl and make sure that, you know, in the 50s, make sure you've got your lipstick on when your husband walks through the door and you've got the banana pie. And, you know, it's like this whole, this lifetime of cultural conditioning that we've gone through collectively, you know, there's a sacred rage in the feminine that needs to come through, what we call the dark feminine. And that's not dark because it's bad, but, you know, we as society have been taught only to be in light feminine. Feminine leadership is about compassion and empathy and understanding and communication, all beautiful traits, all really beautiful, wonderful feminine traits, which are in men and women. And there are also these dark feminine traits of power, certainty and rage, you know, but those traits are not celebrated in society. It's like, whoa, she's a little bit intense. She's a bit hectic. You know, it's like, well, actually, no, I'm not. I'm just rooted in my power and I'm going to do this thing. So, you know, there's this journey we need to go through to unlock these layers of becoming aware of the ways in which we have been, the parts of it that we can hold ourselves responsible for, and then the necessary digestion of the emotions in order for us to be able to forgive society. You know, certainly where I've got to is that, you know, although society has, I've been impacted and affected by the ways in which society is raising our youth, there's also a responsibility that we all need to take for the co-creation of the way things have happened. You know, unfortunately, the power and dominance of the structures, the way in which they emerged, you know, we didn't have the necessary balancing aspect of the dark feminine to ensure that it didn't get quite so out of whack as it has been. So for me as a woman, it was like coming up, going through those stages of feeling all of those difficult feelings, becoming deeply aware of recognizing what am I responsible for and what actually just happened to me.
Right.
And then being in a position where I had built the capacity to take responsibility for myself and to take ownership for my part, to take full accountability for my part in all the things that have happened over the years. You know, and in that, there is now a much greater degree of ability to be able to be in difficult conversations that might have triggered me in the past, you know, especially between me and my husband. We've had some almighty heated discussions and fights even around the male-female dynamic and the and where the male psyche is to where the female psyche is and what's trying to emerge in feminine consciousness and working with in the intimacy of my very close relationship, the crystallized male brain. And how to work around that. So in the past, I have definitely come up with big explosions with him. Now I can hold that conversation with him with a much greater degree of grace and maturity and less trauma, less blame, less finger pointing, because I've kind of cycled through it enough. So, you know, for women, it's about first creating the set and the setting or the space. You know, I mean, it sounds like you did a beautiful job of pulling your sisters together for your 50th and creating intentional space for not just an honoring and a celebration of you and your rite of passage into 50, but also this honoring and celebration of the sisterhood. Right. And, you know, this is one of the unfortunate outcomes of the society we've grown up in, is that we have women that are pitted against women. If we think back to like the time of the witches, where women were burned at the stake, and it was like if somebody came up to your door and said, right, Anne, you're a witch, and you say, no, I'm not, and they say, well, either tell us who is or I'm going to burn you at the stake, and you're like, oh, well, Paula is.
To save yourself, right.
And unfortunately, that's happened in so many different ways in our society, that the feminine consciousness has been wounded. And all of us wake up to our own wounding, but then to wake up to the wounding in our culture and in our consciousness, to be able to to work with that, to bring that into wholeness, to come back into right relating to our sisters and recognize the absolute potency. And clearly you've got that attunement of women working together with women.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. I appreciate the fact you are able to appreciate that your lived experience as a white woman differs from my lived experience as a Black woman. So if any of them are interested in joining the frequency, where can they find you?
No, absolutely. So, you know, the beauty, as you said earlier, of this online world is that we can make ourselves accessible and we can access, you know, everything through technology. So, you know, thefrequency.global is my Instagram and my website. And anybody who's listening that would like to learn more about this sort of rite of passage around feminine relating, feminine consciousness, and the journey to our feminine maturity can book a discovery call through my website, and I can catch up with them and find out where they're at and what they need and what's going on for them and see whether they're the right fit. And if they are, then fantastic. We've got another circle starting in July. We'll be starting another 10-week journey in July where we will be coming together. And I'm also in the process of developing a bit of a lighter touch circle, a sort of 4-week journey that gives people who've never sat in circle and shared themselves vulnerably with a whole group of strangers, bear in mind, sometimes it's actually very often, it's much easier to share ourselves vulnerably with strangers than it can be with our nearest and dearest, because our nearest and dearest want to rescue us or save us or make it go away or make it better. When in actual fact, with strangers, they can hold a lot more objectivity in the space that they hold. And during the course of the journey, it's amazing how we get to the end and all the women are like, oh my gosh, I want to see you all in person. And I wish we could meet. Is there going to be something in person that we can do together or something like that? So, you know, there's a real bond that forms between the women that come on the journey. The next frequency circle and journey into feminine maturity starts in July.
Okay. So other than the frequency.global that you mentioned, are there any other online social media that listeners who want to follow you can find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So Instagram is frequency.global. My LinkedIn profile is Paula Conroy. And I also have a Facebook page, which is under Paula Conroy. And there's also one for frequency.global.
I will include those in the show notes also. So
thank you so much.
All good things must come to an end. And this episode of Women of Grit podcast is no exception. Paula Conroy, all the way from Australia, was our guest today. Paula, thank you for coming on this episode and talking so eloquently about rites of passage for women, the mature feminine and frequency cycle. So take care. I don't say goodbye. I say until next time.
Thank you so much, Anne. All the best to you and much love on your journey.
Thank you so much.
So that's it for today's episode of Women of Grit. Thank you for joining us and don't miss the next episode in 1 week. And while you're waiting, you can catch up on previous episodes of our podcast on your favorite listening platforms, which you can access from our website, womenofgritpodcast.com. While on the website, you can learn more about today's guest and all our previous guests. Make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and rate the show to help us reach more listeners so we can continue bringing you these incredible stories of women who have overcome challenges with grit and determination. Thank you for your support, and until next week, remain ever gritful and never quit. It's always darkest before dawn, but light comes in the morning. Take care.